Introspection, sessions 1 through 6. This is session 3, playing the game. Playing the game. When I want to go into introspection, I am going into a different state of consciousness than I normally experience every moment of my life. And yet, it is the same experience that I experience every moment of my life. I just don't recognize it as I specifically and definitely go into the state of introspection to listen to my divine self. No matter what I do, I'm listening to my divine self. I'm hearing my divine self. I'm knowing my divine self. I feel my divine self. I know what's going on inside of me. But I don't pay attention to it most of the time. And why is it I don't pay attention to it most of the time? Because I think that there are limits to what I should be thinking. There are limits to what I should be acting upon. There are limits to what I should be playing the game as. And so I try to play the game as a normal human being based upon the normal activities that are going on all around me. And this certainly is not my divine. It's an interesting game. It's a good game. It's a game that all humanity plays, and it's one that is highly respected and highly accepted, and it's highly wonderful. However, think for a moment. If our great scientists and our great inventors were to think in the standard way of doing things, they would never invent the great things they come up with. Their scientific conclusions would remain based upon whatever the eye can see and whatever you can touch and feel. But to play the game, we have to enter into a very outrageous view of what we have previously thought of looking at it. As outrageous views come into line, we consider them. Now, what outrageous views might come into line? Well, the first one that we've been working on is the idea that God is everywhere. And that wherever God is, all that God is present. And wherever God is, all that its wisdom, all that its knowledge, all that its wonder, all of its presence, all of its power, as we conceive of these things to be, are there too. And so, when we can get over the block or over the hurdle of saying that God is outside of us and start saying that God is inside of us, then we begin to realize that the magic, these outrageous things, are really not so outrageous. Because we begin to realize that everything is possible. Everything is possible. And when we start thinking that everything is possible, then we can start playing the game with more enthusiasm. We can start playing the game with more wonderment and more magic in our thinking. And as we play the game, then we begin to let our mind soar into areas that we have never done before. We let our mind soar into the possibilities that had only been for other people, for inventors, for creative writers, for scientists, for people in other fields of work, but certainly not in our field. And you know, it wasn't too long ago that scientists were not so outgoing as they are today. It wasn't too long ago that scientists were, and science is the study of knowledge, that scientists were pretty much fundamental people, very fundamental people. And then, as time went on, they expanded their awareness, they expanded their consciousness, and they began to realize that things could be done, and that they could do them. Our first computer, our first attempts at understanding this thing was as big as a city block, you know, and a giant office building. And in that, they did the very same things we do on our laptop computers today. Now, they have built great computers and great buildings to have tremendous memory, and they're being put to shame by the imagination, by the crazy playing the game of the scientists who are not only on trigabytes, but they're on a million times that more of memory. And you say, well, what are they going to do with all that memory? Well, that's part of our game. Playing the game is to wonder what sort of things we're going to do next. Now, let's just look at this from another point of view. You and I have a mind, and we have a brain. Now, our brain is our computer hard drive, and our brain has within it the capacity to do unlimited things. Our brain, for instance, can create the computer, like we've often said, and it can create these very complex concepts and make them into a usable format that we can use every day. Imagine a wristwatch that receives television, and that receives video, that receives sound, that is able to send back and forth sound, that can do everything that a laptop computer can do, and perhaps even more. Because they're working on such a tiny instrument, because they're trying to show that it can do magic and it can do wonder. As outrageous views come into line, think about them, consider them, sort of flow with them, and realize that this is what's going on inside of you and me. This is the divine in us. This is the divine wanting to talk to us, to share with us, to reveal through us all the wonderment that there is in the world. All the wonderment that there is in the universe. And even that, all the wonderment that there is. It has no time, it has no space, it has no limitation. We want to play the game. So, you know, the scientists are beginning to play the game. The philosophers played the game for a long time. They told the story of how far the sun was from the moon, and how far the sun was from the earth, and how big the sun was, and how big the earth was, and they were pretty close. They may not have had it down to the gnat's eyebrow, but they knew. And they knew, and they did not have instruments with which to measure. They measured it by their mental concept. They measured it by thinking within, by listening to the divine revealing to them what it is. Now, if they had listened a little closer, they would have had the gnat's eyebrow. They would have had it down to its most finite, fine-tuned point as to what it really is. And you'll find that this is being done more and more. You'll find that people are dreaming more and more. The Big Bang Theory, if we've spoken before, the Big Bang Theory, it's a theory. And yet, we take it as a scientific fact because it was given to us by scientific thinkers who are way out, who are way, way out. They are off into no-no land. They are off into the la-la land. They are off into this crazyville. Or are they? Or are they? Are they listening to a magic within themselves? Are they listening to an intelligence within themselves that far outshines anything that others have done, because others wanted to prove it? And so what is the first thing that scientists want to do? They want to prove that whoever makes a theory, that the theory is incorrect. And of course, to prove that it's correct, it's not too difficult, because you just take the premises that the scientists gave. But to prove that it's incorrect, you have to bring all sorts of other avenues into play. Now, I don't recommend that we try to prove things are incorrect, because you and I are not in the business of scientific imagination. We're in the business of universal imagination. We're in the business of outrageous imagination. We're in the business of tuning in to that divine self within us through introspection, listening to the divine self within us, and letting it reveal to us the exact, faultless, flawless concept of whatever it is we're thinking about. And as this is revealed to us, what will happen? Well, as this is revealed to us, then we will know it too. Then we will have this magic, we will have this intercourse with our divine, in which we are one, and we flow back and forth, so to speak, from our human or our intellectual mental capacity, to our divine realization of all knowledge, of all thought, of all introspection. What are we doing when we're going into introspection? We're listening to the within. Now, we can call it our God self. That's lovely. We can call it the divine within. That's good. We can call it, we're listening to the master thinker within our inner being. That's interesting too, isn't it? We're listening to this master conceiver of all the magical ideas that we could ever wish, want, or imagine for ourselves, and even some things we can't never dream or imagine for ourselves. As outrageous views come into line, consider them. I pretend that what comes up is real and viable for me. I don't judge when the divine in me says something. Now, you say, well, it might not be the divine in you, it might be some idiot attitude that has come into your mind from somebody else who hasn't had their marbles in the right place. Well, fine and dandy. I still go for it. And who knows, these idiots who don't have their marbles in the right place may have their marbles in a better place than you and I have. They may be unlimited as they're listening to their own inner self. They may be unlimited as they're hearing this idea, this concept, this wonderment. They may be unlimited, and being unlimited, what happens? They are touching home base with the infinite. They are touching home base with the allness. And isn't this what introspection's all about? Touching home base with the unlimited, touching home base with the allness. I pretend that what comes up is real and viable for me. I pretend that whatever comes up in my thought, hey, that's real. And I act as though it's real. And I act as though it is viable, that it's something that I can use and something that I can put to work in my thought and put to work in my daily life and put to work in my imagination time. And I take out my book and I begin to write these thoughts down. And I begin to write down all of the imagination, all of the wonder, all of the magic. All the magic. And pretty soon, things that once were magic are now expressed in my environment. As I say, you can always create a better mousetrap. You can always create a better can opener. You can always create all sorts of things. Don't limit yourself. Don't limit yourself. You know, when we were children, they gave us a little can opener. It was a little piece of metal that flipped away from the one side. It was maybe about an inch long, inch and a half. And we would take that on our camping trips because we wanted to keep down weight, you know, as though a can opener would take a lot of weight. But we had everything to keep down everything weight so that we wouldn't have much. And this little can opener, we took along, and we would take that can opener, and we'd go clip, 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 clip. It would take a moment longer than a normal can opener that you'd twist or screw, but click, 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 and it would open up the can so beautifully. And then we'd lick off the can opener so that it would be clean, put it back in our pocket or wherever it went. And it was working beautifully. Now today, they have can openers that are can openers that are can openers, electric can openers, twist can openers that open the top of the can and leave it with a smooth surface so that you can put your fingers inside and you won't get cut by the inside edge, and makes the can as a usable gadget around the garage or anywhere else that you might want to use it to store nails in or screws or put your paintbrush in when you finish using it. You know, thousands of possibilities, you know. The mind just, and you say, well, that's simple stuff. We've been doing that for years. But not with a cannon that had a rounded edge to it that would not scratch you when you were doing something to it. Yeah, that's true. I wonder who thought that up. I wonder what sort of connection they had with their divine when they thought that up, where they think, I'm going to think up a can opener. I'm going to think up a can opener that opens cans and doesn't have a rough edge. Or were they doing something else? Were they creating a device that was going to make smooth sheets on the edge of something? I don't know what all they could imagine. I'd have to go into their imagination, and that's fun to do too. But I pretend that what comes up is real and viable for me, and then I go for it. Now, what are these guys doing? They're inventing these things. They're doing stuff. My son is inventing an engine that's 4 inches thick. 18 inches wide and across the diameter, and it is weighs, what is it, something like 40 pounds, no, not that much, maybe 40 pounds, and it is pollution free. And it has a special cam arrangement on it that operates the pistons and the cylinders and all that sort of stuff in a perfect rhythm and harmony, that it is quiet, that it is wonderful, that it is magic, and he's gotten his patent on it, and he's going for it. Now, will he ever carry it out into fruition? Why not? If he doesn't do it, he'll have somebody else do it, but he's coming up with other ideas. He's coming up with designs for his ultralight airplanes. And he says, when people try to take his design and steal it and put it into their planes, let them go ahead. I'm always coming up with something new. I'm always coming up with something that when people buy my planes, they get the latest of my thinking. They get the latest of my creation. And you see, this is what magic is. You don't worry about owning or possessing something. You just reveal the divine within you. You have that pipeline that's open. And with that open pipeline, you do magical things. I take on any role that seems fitting and pretend it is truly me. Now, my son did not go to a college. He did not go to a training school for mechanics or engineers. He did not do any of those things. And yet, his imagination, by listening within, guided him to create an engine, guided him to create ultralight airplanes that even the Federal Aviation Authority people who work in that field and who know the finest ultralight airplanes in the business buy from him. Because they know that his is the most exquisite. His has the most wonderful facets to it. It has the most creative and imaginative aspects to it, which make it fly more beautifully, which make it fly more consistently, and not safely, but it make it fly more beneficially to what the pilot wants it to do. Now, where do you get all that? He didn't go to school. He went to high school. And he went to a college preparatory high school in Corona del Mar, California, and he did lots of great things, but he listened within, and he's still listening within. And today, he's 50 years old, and he's listening within and having the time of his life. Now, who would have ever known that he would do this? When he was a child, he was always creating, not engines, but airplanes. He was always creating airplanes that were far too heavy, because they were made out of heavy wood and metal and what have you. And he didn't have the titanium and the other things that they have today to present that in a much lighter fashion. But that didn't bother him. It was a concept that he was going for. And he had his friends coming over. And in his bedroom, he had one of my office desks from my real estate office, and he had this all laid out with his airplanes and with his designing. And he was listening introspectively to the divine within him, revealing ideas, ideas, ideas. And he was taking on the role that seems fitting and proper and is truly him. He listened, and then he built it. He had one of our airplanes in the carport down below the house, and in the carport it was open, and he had this Taylor Craft airplane with this, I believe it was a Continental engine or something like that, and he redesigned the engine. He was redesigning the engine so that it would burn anything as fuel. It would burn baking powder, it would burn flour, it would burn oil, it would burn anything that he put in there. And he's just a tremendously imaginative, creative kid. True, many things could have happened, that would have messed up everything, but it didn't bother him. He listened within, and he followed it. And he said, if I'm listening within, I'm getting the right dope. I'm getting the right information. I'm following the right ideas. And then he let it go. He did not judge. He did not make any decision on anything like that. He just listened and followed it. And as he listened and followed it, what did he do? He came up with ideas that were so imaginative that when he was just still in high school and coming up with these ideas for these hydraulic systems for airplane wheels, and he was at the EAA, the Experimental Aircraft Association in Huntington Beach, California, where Richard Bach, who wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull and Illusions and other books, was there too studying about airplanes because he loved airplanes too. And there were great scientists and engineers from the McConnell Douglas and Lockheed and so forth who were belonging to this group. It was quite an exotic group. And Mark would come there and he would bring his concepts for the hydraulic landing gear, and it'd be on paper, and he would have drawn it up in this simple, beautiful fashion, and he'd show it to the guys and say, what do you think of this? How do you think, what's your ideas on? Well, little by little, the engineers would purloin it and take it off and take it to their company and sell it to the company and build it. And I often said to Mark, my goodness, how's it feel to have your ideas wafted away and put into work like that? He said, well, I wouldn't have done anything with it because that was just a step along the way. I hadn't planned on staying there and developing that concept. Now, they'll develop that concept, but then they won't have my next concepts. My next concepts will be of another nature and doing other great and beautiful things. How true that is. How true that is for all of us. Now, I am so convincing that even I believe it is true. The ideas, the dreams, the magic that comes into my mind, that comes up from the depths of my inner thinking, that come from my unlimited realization of who I am. This is my introspection. It's speaking to me. It's talking to me. It's revealing to me. It's opening doors to me. It's saying, hey, you got it, you got it, you got it. Go for it. And then I go for it. But you see, the divine in us is not static. The divine in us is not something that is just a gentle tug or a hug or a snuggle. It is imagination. It is wisdom. It is inspiration. It is all of those things that say, I believe it's true. And you don't even say, I believe it's true. You act as though it is true because you believe it. And as you do this, then you carry it out. Now, I keep telling people that if you listen to your divine within, you can say at any time, I know that I know that I know, whatever it is you want to know, and you know it. I know that I know that I know, and you know it. You see? And they say, well, I tried it. I said, I know that I know that I know what is the capital of Nebraska. You know. And I don't know what it is. It didn't come. Well, you didn't really believe that you knew that you knew. When you say, I know that I know that I know, and you say what it is you know, you take the first thought that comes to your mind and you speak it. You don't stop and say, no, it wouldn't be that. No, it wouldn't be this. No, it would be something else. You just speak it. Now you say, well, Herb, why don't you tell us what the capital of Nebraska is? We're not talking about that. We're talking about listening to the divine within you. And so many people, they say, well, Herb, you know, you are into this stuff. You are aware of this stuff. You're on top of this stuff. Why don't you just tell us these things? Why don't you just give us the answers? And that's the problem. That's the problem. We want to go to our mentor, to our teacher, to our sharer, and we want the teacher to tell us. It's like the little boy who was in elementary school, and his teacher says, all right, Dennis, tell me, what is 2 times 2? And Dennis says to the teacher, teacher, how come you don't know? I thought you were the teacher. Now you see, Dennis had the wrong idea. He didn't realize the teacher was teaching him to sort of memorize these facts, to memorize the mathematics tables, to memorize all that stuff. He didn't realize the teacher was, in fact, saying to him, you know that you know that you know, the divine in you knows the answer, now just speak it. And some children listen. Some children, they know, but they don't speak up. They don't speak up and say, oh, this is what it is. Because They are not interested in making themselves look superior to anyone else. They just listen and act upon it. They know that they have this magical information within them. They know that they have the capacity within them to do anything they want to do. And because they have this capacity within them to do anything that they want to do, they don't have to look superior to someone else. They don't have to feel that they have an inner link to their introspective self that somebody else doesn't have. Everybody has it, but we are not all using it. We're not all going to the same service station. We're getting gas from different service stations, and we're getting gas of various qualities, and we wonder why our car operates and functions in a different way. Why doesn't our car function the way somebody else's car? The Indy's 500 cars, you know, they're all perked up to a high pitch to get maximum performance out of their engines, maximum activity out of their engines, maximum, maximum, maximum. But hey, is that what you want? Do you want maximum performance, or do you want an engine that will run for thousands of miles? Or do you want an engine that will run so fast and so powerful and win the races, and at the end of the race, the engine's burned out? But now, what do you want? What is your goal? How are you looking at the divine within you? How are you looking at the wisdom within you? What are you looking for? Are you looking for your Indy's 500 engine? Or are you looking for your normal road street engine that is going to give you 300,000-400,000 miles before it needs an overhaul? Wow, sounds good to me, doesn't it? And the tires that will give you 300,000-400,000 miles that will stay on the car as long as the engine's good in the car. And the car itself will last for 300,000-400,000 miles or better. And then at the time that the engine gives out, that the tires give out, the car gives out, and it, at that moment, returns to the original dust that it was drawn out of. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? Well, we like to have the metal that is used from old cars to make other things. My goodness, no. We don't need to recycle things. We go right to the original. We go right to the original idea. And when we go to the original, magic takes place. We are the creators of our world. We are the creators of our universe. We listen to our introspective self. We listen to God within. We listen to the divine within. We listen to the magic within. As the magic within says, go for it. New ideas are just piling up, waiting for you to get busy and take them. Some people take them a little slower than others, and some people take them so fast. And they reveal them so fast that others just can't catch up with them. And they say, where do you get all those ideas? Where do you get all those imaginative ideas? And who are some of those people? Some of those people are the writers of our science fiction. They are the writers of our Star Trek. They are the writers of these way out ideas. And where do you and I come in on this? You and I, we are also writers, dreamers. We are also playing the game. And we're playing the game and showing ourselves that I believe it's true. I know it's true. It is true. We don't prove it to somebody else. We just do it, and we don't prove it to ourselves. We just do it. To prove it means you have to show how the algebraic problem is brought forth from the beginning to the end, not just give the answer. And so we don't need to concern ourselves with all those details. We get our bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits and let the law of cause and effect, we let the infinite allness, the isness, be itself and express itself and direct itself in the universe and the world. And as that happens, then we are playing the game. And I tell you, what could be more fantastic, what could be more joyous, what could be more exciting than to play the game? Well, to know that you're playing the game, and know that one thought leads to another, one dream leads to another, one attitude, outrageous though it may be, comes up with something that is fantastic. And the world sits back and says, oh, how about that? Yeah, I kind of thought that too. So, our next session will be imagination. So, be ready. I love you. I love you. I love you.